Hi everyone, and welcome to Tanakh B'Shanah this week. While we are still in the middle of covering Triasar, for this week I wanted to skip ahead to Megillat Shir HaShirim, as this is the Megillah that we read on Pesach. So at first glance, Shir HaShirim is far from a sefer that you would consider to be included in Tanakh. If you look at some of the themes, it is a love story between a man and a woman with very descriptive love scenes, physical descriptions, and just not exactly what you would expect from a book of Tanakh. More, you would expect for it to have been filtered out, removed, never to be mentioned. So what I want to explore is, what is the deeper meaning behind Shir HaShirim? Why is it included, and what can we learn from it? And to conclude at the end, we'll try to understand why do we read this Megillah on Pesach? Because unlike Megillat Esther, it's not clear that the story of the Megillah relates to the holiday itself. So we're going to begin by discussing, was it clear-cut that Shir HaShirim would be included in Tanakh? So if we look in the Rambam in Masechet Zavim, it says, "Vayugam kim bazman hazeh, ha'hu notnin truma v'tzad sifrei trumot va'omrim zekodesh v'zekodesh." In the past, they used to take their truma, and they would keep it next to the holy sarim, because they would say, this is holy and this is holy. However, but they had this terrible phenomenon where because they were keeping food next to the sfarim, mice would enter and try to eat the truma, and they would also end up eating their way through the sfarim. The alkein, and therefore, gazru al kitvei hakodesh kulan shepuslin et hatruma sheyagiuba. So we know you have to be tahor, you have to be pure in order to eat truma. So what did the chacham and what did the rabbis decree? They decreed that touching a holy book makes your hand tameh for touching truma. So through doing that, they got rid of this idea that you should keep the holy truma next to the holy sfarim, because once you touch the sfarim, you now can no longer touch the truma. So they now call holy books, or books that were considered part of Tanakh, mitamin etayadayim, those that make your hands impure. So if we look at the Mishnah Masechet Yadayim, it says, Sefer shenimchak v'nityasher bo 85 otiyot. So a book that is erased until 85 letters, Kiparsha Vayehi bin Aharon, which is as long as the whole Parsha Vayehi bin Aharon, mitamei etayadayim. So once there is a minimum of 85 letters, it is considered something that is mitamei etayadayim. Megillah shekatuv bashmonim v'chamish otiyot kiparshat vayehi bin Aharon. So the original was talking about a book that was erased down to 85 letters, and now it's talking about a Megillah that was written only until 85 letters. That's also considered a book that is mitamei etayadayim. Kol kitvei hakodesh mitamei etayadayim. It said all holy writings make your hands impure. Shir HaShirim v'Kohelet mitamei etayadayim. And then it adds in, also Shir HaShirim and Kohelet are mitamin et hayadayim. So that calls to question, if they were naturally part of Kitvei HaKodesh, the holy writings, why did they have to be specified? Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, Shir HaShirim mitamin et hayadayim. Yes, we'll include Shir HaShirim in holy books that make your hands impure. V'Kohelet machloket, but about Kohelet we have a machloket. We're not sure if it should be included. Rabbi Yossi says, Kohelet eno mitamei et hayadayim, that Kohelet doesn't make your hands impure. It's not a holy writing. V'Shir HaShirim machloket. But Shir HaShirim, it's a debate. Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, Kohelet mikalei beit shamay umichumrei beit hillel. So it says, Kohelet is a difference between whether you follow beit shamay or beit hillel. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, Mekubal ani mipi shivim v'shnayim zekinim biyom shehushivu Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah b'yeshiva, sheshir HaShirim v'kohelet mitamei et hayadayim. So Rabbi Shimon ben Azai says, I have this Mesorah, I have this understanding that Kohelet and Shir HaShirim are those that make your hands impure. So they are both considered holy writings. Amar Rabbi Akiva, so now Rabbi Akiva comes along, and he says, Chas v'shalom, how can we be having how could one even have a question about whether Shir HaShirim is mitamei et hayadayim? She'in kol ha'olam kulo kedai kiyom shenitim bo shir ashirim le'Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, how could we even be having this debate? He says, there is no day comparable to the day that Shir HaShirim was given to B'nai Yisrael. Shekol HaKtuvim Kodesh, and he says, all of Ktuvim are considered to be holy. B'Shir HaShirim Kodesh Kedashim. He said, how could we even be having this debate? All the other books are holy, but Shir HaShirim is the holy of holies. It's the ultimate holy book. V'im nechleku, lo nechleku al kohelet. And if we have a debate about something, it can only be about kohelet. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Yehoshua ben Chamav shel Rabbi Akiva k'divrei ben Azai, kach nechleku v'kach gamru. So they agreed and they solidified the rule according to Rabbi Akiva, that Shir HaShirim and Kohelet are both considered holy books that are therefore mitamei et hayadayim, that would make your hands impure. But this is a complicated statement by Rabbi Akiva. Everyone else seems to be comfortable questioning whether Shir HaShirim and Kohelet should even be included in the holy books. So what brings Rabbi Akiva to say that there is no day as holy as the day that Shir HaShirim was given to B'nai Yisrael? Why does he say that it's Kodesh Kedashim? How do we understand this? So to understand this, I want to look at two approaches of how do we define Kodesh Kedashim, holy of holies. The first approach comes from Rav Gershtin Koren, who was the first mayor of B'nai Brak. He wrote a sefer which compiles all the Kabbalistic interpretations of Shir HaShirim. And in his Haskama to this sefer, Rav Unterman writes an introduction, and he explains what Kodesh Kedashim means. So if we look at this introduction, I'm sorry that it's a picture of the source and not the source itself. Wasn't the easiest source to find. So it says, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Chas v'shalom lo nechleku Adam Yisrael al Shir HaShirim shelo yitameh et hayadayim. So this quotes the Mishnah that we just read. She'en kol ha'olam kulo kedai kiyom shenitim bo Hashem le'Yisrael shekol ha'ktuvim kodesh v'shir ha'shirim kodesh kedashim. So it first quotes our Mishnah. And he says, Yadua ki b'karbanot shebamikdash hayu shnei sugim kodesh kedashim v'kadshim kalim. Rav Unterman compares this idea to karbanot. And he says, when it comes to karbanot, there are two types of karbanot. There are kadshim kalim, there are lighter holy karbanot, and there are kodesh kedashim, and they're the holy of holies. V'dinei ham shonim, and they have... Okay. So what we were discussing is we were talking about what does this mean, kodesh kedashim? And we first looked at the approach of Rav Unterman. Rav Unterman was comparing Kodesh Kedashim to Karbanot. And he says in Karbanot, there are Kadshim Kalim, there are lighter Karbanot, and there are also Kodesh Kedashim, there are holier Karbanot. In Kadshim Kalim, part of it goes for the human being, part of it is able to be consumed by us, and the remainder goes to Hashem. However, in Kodesh Kedashim, in the holiest of holy Karbanot, we are not able to consume any of it. All of it is for Hashem. So he compares this and he says, how do we understand this in relation to Ashira, in relation to our Megillah? V'kimokin kashela hafin kamzo, shechachamenu manu asar shiro kedosho shenamru ba'alam, ubineihem hashira shamar Moshe b'nei Yisrael al hayam v'shirat ha'azinu ve'od ve'od. He says there are a number of shirim that are included in the holy songs. V'kulan hayu kodesh, and all of them are just holy. V'shir hashirim shel Shlomo HaMelech kodesh kedashim. But we say that the Shir HaShirim by Shlomo HaMelech is holy of holies. Na'alal kulan ha'umnam ga mishirat Moshe shebat Torah. Why not the Shirim of Moshe that are in the Torah? U'biyoter yifla devar lo'or divrei chazal b'midrash ha'omrim ki ma shekatuv nachon ki sacha me'az ha'kavana shekisei kvodo hitchonim mishirat Yisrael sha'al hayam. The shirim in the Torah are known to be extremely holy. For example, Aziyah shir, Ba'yidea shir hazot nitchazka malchot shamayim ba'alam. Through the shira of Aziyah shir, we know that Hashem's presence was strengthened in the world. V'kan Rabbi Akiva omer ki shir hashirim oleg gam al hashirim shebat Torah. Why is Rabbi Akiva saying that this shira of shir hashirim is holier than even those in the Torah?
How do we understand this greatness? Achin, l'inyan da'ati, nir'a l'faresh hadvarim be'ofen ha'mekabel ha'da'at. Ki kemo she'yish hevdel be'karbanot she'ba'mikdash, just like there is a difference with karbanot in the temple, being kochei kedashim be'kachim kalim, between lighter and holier karbanot, she'be'kachim kalim yish gam chilek ha'shayach le'ba'alim, that when with lighter karbanot, she'namru b'racha kodesh, that is said with racha kodesh, Yeshan Shirot Sha'af Shahin Mele O Rayonot Amukim Vignuzim Bahen Sodo Uramazim. There are some songs and Shirot that even though they are that they can be understood deeply with hidden meanings and secrets and hidden understandings. Becholzo Gam Etzem HaPshat Emet LaAmitato. There is also truth and what to understand from the Pshat, from the basic level of meaning. Hu ve'ein mikra yodsei midei pshuto. This is how we say that there is a meaning within the pshat. Hinei l'mashal v'shirat hayang genuzim otzrot rayon chachmat nesar v'sodot aval gam pshat ha'pashut hu emem meduyeket. He said, for example, if we're talking about shirat hayam, the shirat of Az Yashir, there are deep ideas to understand, but there is also what to understand from the pshat. Kishanu korim marchavot paro v'chelo yara bayam u'char shalishav tuv u'biyam suf. When we read about the chariots of Paro drowning in the sea, anu ma'aminim be'emunah shlima shevadai kein haya, that we believe that this actually happened. V'chein ma shekatuv chil achaz v'shei palashet az nifalu alofei adom. Bevadai nechunim hadvarim mashma'ot ha'miluliot. V'im chas v'shalom yomar adam sh'ma'amin rak b'rayon u'b'sodot u'b'shira sh'anu ma'amin b'pshatot hadvarim v'nechonot hata'ir al kriyat yamsaf. So if someone were to understand that they only believe in the deeper level of Az Yashir, then this would be kfira. This would be going against the emuna that we have to have based on the shira. Hareu bazek kofer batora ve'in lo chilek olam haba ve'kal zek hayam legabe kol ha'shirot ha'kdushot shehin kodesh. So based on this, we understand that what is he saying? He's saying on kachim kalim, there is pshat that could be understood. It can be understood at a basic level, but it can also be understood for its deeper meaning. And based on this, we can extrapolate and say, what does he therefore believe is kodesh kedashim? And he continues on to say this later on. I'm sorry that not the entire source was put on the sheet. But later on, he continues on and says that Kodesh Kedashim, the Holy of Holies, such as Shir Hashirim, there is no part that can be understood from the Pshat. The Pshat is just there to teach us the hidden, deeper meanings. Hold on, I just need to adjust the camera. Okay. So he says there is nothing to understand from the pshat. It can only be understood at its deeper meaning. So that's one approach that he says, what does it mean that Rabbi Akiva says that it's kodesh kedashim? That just like karbanot that are kodesh kedashim, in the basic material level, there is nothing to be understood for us. But there is much to be understood from the deeper level. There is another approach, which is that of Rav Kook, that how does he explain kodesh kedashim? He says, Amnam mi shebeich sarku b'saro b'masri kot shal barzel yachola hashiv kol yamai hayiti mitzta'er al mikra azeh u'b'chol nafshecha matay yavo lidei v'kaimenu v'lahariach b'oto sha'a b'achad at yitziat nishmato. Rav Kook starts off by saying that it is no coincidence that it is Rabbi Akiva who is teaching us this level about Shir Hashirim. He says this lesson on Shir Hashirim could only come from someone who was able to have such a high level of emunah, such a high level of loving Hashem, that when they were, we know the famous story of the death of Rabbi Akiva, that they were scraping his skin, and he says, all the days of my life, I was troubled by the fact that I would never be able to fulfill the mitzvah of loving Hashem, b'chol nafshecha, loving Hashem, as Rashi says, af mi shenotel et nafshecha, that you have to love Hashem, even if he's trying to take your heart, take your soul. So he said, I worried my whole life that I would never be able to fulfill this mitzvah properly. And he was able to extend the word achad until his neshama left him. So only a person who is on this level could teach us this lesson about Shir HaShirim. Raku yachol lomar she'in kol ha'olam kulo kedai ki yom shenitim bo Shir HaShirim liYisrael. Only he could really understand this lesson of what it means that there is no day like the day that Shir HaShirim was given to Bnei Yisrael. She'kolak tuvim kodesh v'Shir HaShirim kodesh kedashim. Amnam kenetef mayim mineyam. He says this is like a person who is in a watchtower over the sea. Kazik echad milahav ish she'ad liv hashamayim ke'ot echad misaper gadol v'rachav yadayim yada ish asher ka rama nafsho laharich gam kin et ha'ava pratit hativi v'rachat hatahor. So he says, he gives us a mashal of a person who is standing in a watchtower over the sea. And he looks out and he sees a star and he tries to describe to the bottom, a person standing at the bottom, and say, wow, that is a far off star. Someone standing at the bottom of the watchtower can only imagine that this star could be as far as, let's say, 10 feet away, because that's their vantage point. That something 10 feet away already seems so far to them. However, someone in the watchtower is able to look and say, wow, that star can be thousands of miles away. The definition of far means something so different to someone at the bottom of the watchtower and someone at the top of the watchtower because of their vantage point. So what Rav Kook goes on to explain is he says only Rabbi Akiva had this vantage point that he was able to say there is true love. And true love is very different to someone who has only an understanding of physical love and someone who has an understanding of love in terms of love of Hashem. That someone who understands the love of Hashem has so much further of a vantage point of what love can mean. So Rav Kook says, what does this mean that Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kedashim? That it gives us this idea that love can expand so much more beyond what we see in the text. That it's not just this love relationship in Shir HaShirim between the man and the woman. Rather, when we look at it through the lens of love of Hashem, it has an expansive reach that it is so much greater than what we are able to understand in the pshat level. So he was saying that Rabbi Akiva says that it teaches us from what we understand on a basic level, we can understand love of Hashem. And then in return, once we understand love of Hashem, we can internalize and understand love on a human level on so much deeper of a level. So now that we understand that there was originally this debate about whether Shir HaShirim should be included. And the Rabbi Akiva comes along and he says that of course Shir HaShirim should be included. It is the holiest of the holy Sfarim. That there is no debate. That whoever says that Shir HaShirim shouldn't be included has no idea what they're talking about. It is the holiest of the Sfarim. So our next step is to understand is what is that deeper level? Because as we said in the beginning, at first glance, when you look at Shir HaShirim, it definitely does not look like something that should be included in Tanakh. Let alone something that would be the holiest of holy Sfarim. So we're going to go through the two or three most common approaches. We're going to really delve into two approaches and address the third approach of how people understand Shir HaShirim. So the first approach is that of Rashi and Ibn Ezra. And they say that the entire Shir HaShirim is a mashal to the entire Jewish people and our relationship with Hashem. Let's first look in Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra says, Hapam habet ze sefer nechbad mikol ha-shirim asher chiber shlomo v'chalila chalila liyoto b'divrei chishak ki im al derech mashal. So Ibn Ezra says this is the holiest of the works that Shlomo HaMelech composed. And he says, chas v'shalom, we should understand that it is only talking about a physical relationship. Rather, it should be understood as a mashal. It should be understood as a parable. K'nevuat Yechazkel, like we understand the nevuot of Yechazkel about Knesset Yisrael, about Bnei Yisrael. V'hinei itcha itudim shadayim nachunu v'echse arvatcha. There are also physical nevuot in the nevuot of Yechazkel, and in the same way that we understand them as a parable there, we should understand them as a parallel here. Iza sefer kritot imachem latir kimisos chatan al kala yasis alayach elokayach velulei hayoto b'mal la gedola shenemar b'ruach hakodesh lo hayu mitameyat hayadayim. So he says we can understand this as we commonly refer to Bnei Yisrael and as Hashem as a bride and groom. So too we should understand the characters in Shir HaShirim as us and Hashem. Hapama Gimel, Yesh Omrim, Ki Benot Yerushalayim, Him Umor Ha'olam, Kinyan, V'natati Et etan levanot, the iachar kibinot Yerushalayim, binot mamash, v'im kineset Yisrael, k'sha'adam idaber imashavotav, k'inyan yibarach, l'cham mai, sefer kritodin machem, v'kimohu yashva Yerushalayim, o tachyab Yerushalayim, the Omer Hoda Yerushalayim v'chal bi'oto b'mitrayim kin hachal Shlomo miyamei Avraham shehu harosh. So the Ibn Ezra continues on to say, he said, Shir HaShirim is a mashal that compares us, our relationship between B'nai Yisrael and Hashem, to the love relationship that is written about in Shir HaShirim. And he says the B'nai Yerushalayim are the events throughout our history that try to deter us from reconnecting to Hashem. So let's look into Rashi for a further explanation of this approach. What does it mean that this is a mashal for our relationship to Hashem? And Rashi says, "Ve'omerani shera'a Shlomo beruach hakodesh, that Shlomo saw in ruach hakodesh she'atidin Yisrael legalot ge'ula achar gola achar gola, that Shlomo HaMelech saw in nevuah that in the future Bnei Yisrael were going to be exiled over and over, chorban achar chorban. They were going to have destruction after destruction." V'letonim begalat zeh al kvodam harishon. V'laskir chibah rishona asher hayu skula lo mikol ha'amim. So Shlomo wrote this Megillah to remind us of the original love relationship that existed between us and Hashem. As it says in Hoshea, Elcha v'ashuva ish harishon ki tov li az me'ata. So it says we're always going to try to go back to this original relationship with Hashem. And we remember this high level of relationship that we reach with Hashem. And we remember all the goodness. And we remind Hashem of all the promises that He promised to give us in the end of these. So this sefer was written through Ruach HaKodesh. So it's written as a lover yearning to reconnect to her love, the one that she loves. It goes through the sefer, reminding us of the love that we originally had. And they address their weaknesses. But her lover, Tsar lo b'tsarata, maskir chasenu reha, v'noy yofia v'kisharon pa'aleha. So they go through their different actions, and there's different stages in the relationship, and there's mistakes, and there's high points, and there's low points. Behem nikshar ima ba'ahava aza, only to eventually hope to establish a strong love with the lover. V'lehodia ki lo milibo ana, v'lo shilucha ha-shiluchin, ki od hi ishto v'hu isha. And Rashi adds a level that the Ibn Ezra didn't address. Ibn Ezra says it's kind of talking about our historic relationship with Hashem, that it's talking about that over time our relationship with Hashem has been compared to a love relationship. And both of them describe that Hashem is the man and Knesset Yisrael is the woman, and they're trying to reconnect and they keep missing each other. And there's high points and there's low points. And when Hashem comes knocking for us, we sometimes run away and we just miss the chance. But Rashi also adds an extra level that he says, this Megillah is not only comparable to what has happened in the past between us and Hashem, but it is a plea, it is yearning to return to Hashem. And that is the level written in Beruach HaKodesh. So now to continue, the second approach of how we understand Shir HaShirim is that of the Rambam and the Ralbag, which talks about our relationship with the mashal of Shir HaShirim as not the relationship between the entire Jewish people and Hashem, rather as each individual Jew and their desire to reconnect to Hashem. So the Rambam in Hilchot Tshuva says, V'ketzad hi ha'ava haru'uya, what is the highest level of love of Hashem? Hu she'ahav et Hashem ahava gdola yetera aza me'od, that one should love Hashem with a great, strong love, me'od ad she'tehei nafsho k'shura ba'avat Hashem v'nimtza shogeba tamid, that you should be lovesick for Hashem, you should be constantly thinking about Hashem, ki'ilu cholach choli ha'ahava, says you should be sick with the sickness of love, she'ein da'ato p'nuya me'avat ota isha v'hu shogeba tamid, for just like someone who is obsessed with a specific woman, who is in love with this woman, would think about her constantly, Gam b'shivto, gam b'kumo, gam b'shah shehu ochav b'shotad, that he would think about her during all of his activities. Yeter mizeh tia avat Hashem b'leiv ahuvav shogim batamid. So too the love of each individual for Hashem should be on that level. Kemo shetzivanu b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha, as we are commanded to love Hashem with our whole heart and our whole soul. V'hu sheshlomo amar darach mashal, and this is what Shlomo is explaining in Shir Hashirim, ki cholat ahava ani, that I am sick with love for Hashem. V'kol hashir hashirim mashal hu le'inyan zeh, and all of Shir Hashirim can be understood through this lens, that it is each person's desire and love for Hashem that is described in Shir Hashirim. And the Ralbag also explains, Yadua Shlomo Alava Shalom Tiki Mishalim Harbe Vishirim Rabim, that Shlomo wrote many songs and many parables. Limso de Rechefat Kamru, Vedaber Solshet Alafim Mashal, that Shlomo wrote 3,000 parables. Vihi Shiro Hamishava Elef, Vize Amarze Pasuk Lefish and Iglebo, Shiza Shir Shahu and Ifchar Bashirim Asher Taknam Shlomo. And this is the choicest of the Mashalim of the parables that Shlomo wrote. Ve'ein safek shekulam hayu meisharim shel Shlomo hamekavim ba'adam el hashlimut harishon im el hashlimut haacharon im el shnei hamyachad, that we not only want to go back to the original full connection we have with Hashem, but we want to develop a new full connection with Hashem. Ki ein michik hamedabrim b'ruach hakodesh l'daber b'shirim asher yitkonu l'hamshich ha'adam el pulot hamegunot O b'shirei ha-hevalim v'kizavim asher hu yamshichu adam el hadvarim ha-ra'oi she-yavo at ha-rochaket hadvarim asher ra'oi she-yarchikyo. So Shir Hashirim is teaching us how we should come closer to Hashem and not further ourselves from Hashem. V'lezeh amru chazal shekol Hashirim kodesh v'shir Hashirim kodesh kedashim. And this is why they say that Shir Hashirim is the holy of holies. That how do we understand this? That it's each person's desire to return to Hashem and to cling to Him. So is it possible to understand Shir Hashirim through both of these lenses? Rav Soloveitchik famously says yes, that whether we understand it as it is the entire Jewish people trying to return to Hashem, or it is each individual trying to return to Hashem, Rav Soloveitchik says in his Sefer on Shir Hashirim, Ubikasha Misham, that on a deeper level, both of these are the same thing. That both explanations are about, as he says, a breathless human quest for the divine that are not mutually exclusive. Ultimately, Judaism understands itself as a human divine drama that acts itself out on the stage of the world and the stage of the soul. That the Jewish relationship, that the relationship of the Jewish people to Hashem is always an internal personal struggle, while it is also a collective struggle. That as an individual, we are always trying to connect to Hashem. And on a communal level, we are also always trying to connect to Hashem. So you can understand it either through the approach of Rashi and Ibn Ezra, that it's each event that is discussed in Shir Hashirim is a historical event that happened between the Jewish people and Hashem, and it is a plea to return to that. Or you can understand it as the Rambam and the Ralbag say, that every example given in Shir Hashirim is about our personal connection and our personal desire to return to Hashem. The last approach is that of the Malbim. And the last of the Malbim is said to have, is the deeper level. And the Malbim says that Shlomo is writing about his own spiritual journey to connect to Hashem. That the Dod, the male lover, represents Hashem and pure spirituality. And the Ra'aya, the woman, is the soul. That Shlomo is saying in his own spiritual journey, he felt that his soul was always striving to return to pure spirituality. But the Benot Yisrael, these outside forces that come up in Shir Hashirim, are the outside materialism and other things in the world that constantly distract us from wanting to return to our spirituality. So it's different from how the Ralbag and the Rambam describe it, that it is the personal connection to return to Hashem and to repair our love relationship with Hashem. Shlomo is saying this is an even deeper internal struggle between what you truly want and where your body often leads you. That often your body wants you to do one thing while your soul desires another. So each of these three Mishalim give us a frame for understanding the events that happen in Shir Hashirim. That is how Rabbi Akiva can say that this is the Holy of Holies, that it is not just a story between a man and a woman. And whether some Mefarshim say there is what to understand from the Pshat, most agree that Shir Hashirim is purely meant to be understood at its deeper level as a mashal, that it's either our community's attempt to return to Hashem, or our individual attempt to return to Hashem, or our soul's desire to return to its pure spiritual desires. So based on this, I want to conclude with, so why do we read Shir HaShirim on Pesach? We know it's clear that we read Megillat Esther on Purim because it describes the story of Purim, or we read Eicha on Tisha B'Av because it also describes the events of the Churban. But why Shir HaShirim on Pesach? And Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks said beautifully, the message of Hosea, Yechezkel, and Yirmiyahu is that the Exodus was more than a theological drama about the defeat of false gods by the true one, or political narrative about slavery or freedom. That our Pesach story is much more than a political victory or just a story of slaves leaving from a foreign land. It is a love story, troubled and tense, to be sure, yet an elopement by bride and groom to the desert where they can be alone together, far out of sight of prying eyes and the distractions of civilization. That is the theme of Shir HaShirim. Like God summoning his people out of Egypt, the lover in the song calls on his beloved. Come, let us leave. The beloved says to herself, come, draw me after you, let us run. Then, in an image of extraordinary poignancy, we see the two of them emerging together from the wilderness. Who is this rising from the desert, leaning on her beloved? Israel, leaning on God, emerging, flushed with love, from the wilderness, that is the Exodus as seen by the great prophets. Nor were they the first to develop this idea. It appears fully fledged in the book of Deuteronomy, where the word love appears 23 times as a description for the relationship between God and the people. When we read the song of Shir HaShirim on Pesach as a commentary to the Exodus, it spells out the message of Yirmiyahu. God chose Israel because Israel was willing to follow him into the desert, leaving Egypt and all of its glory behind for the insecurity of freedom, relying instead on the security of faith. That what Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks is saying is that we never understand our relationship with Hashem simply as that of any other ruler in the world. Our relationship with Hashem is a love story, and especially on Pesach, that when Hashem took us out of Egypt, it was not just a story of saving an enslaved people and taking them to freedom. It was the beginning of the establishment of a love relationship between the Jewish people and Hashem, which started with us placing our trust in Hashem and putting our love in Hashem and saying, we want to be in this relationship with you, Hashem. That when we left Egypt, we said, we are ready to follow you wherever you may take us. And that's true love. And this is the beginning of our love with Hashem. So we read Shir HaShirim on Pesach to remind us of this deeper level of the Exodus story, that it was not just us leaving Egypt and our political or our national freedom. It was the beginning of us forming our relationship and our love with Hashem. So this Pesach, even though we may not be reading Shir HaShirim in Shul, and we may not necessarily feel the freedom so much at this time, we should read through Shir HaShirim on our own, and realize that everything that is described, the love of each of the lovers for each other and how they keep missing each other and trying to return to each other and trying to build this long-standing love, is our relationship with Hashem. And that we should remember that when we left Egypt, it was us saying, Hashem, we want to be in this relationship with you. And we should try to bring that back to our own lives and try to think about it and say, how do we show Hashem, and how do we renew within ourselves this Pesach, this desire to be in this love relationship with Hashem? May we have a Chag Kasher V'Sameach.